Turn again to the passages we read, to the Song of Solomon. I want to draw your attention to chapter 2, Song of Solomon chapter 2. Read a passage from there, Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Verse 8, the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. The voice of my beloved. What a voice. What a voice. Whose voice? My beloved's voice. My beloved's. Only he has this voice. To this woman who speaks here, this daughter of Jerusalem, to this woman, there's only one voice like this voice. The voice of my beloved. No one else's voice compares to his voice. She listens out for it. She longs to hear it. She doesn't really want to hear any other voice but his voice. His voice brings her comfort. His voice brings her joy. His voice is the voice which loves her. Which loves her. Only he has this voice. The voice of my beloved. Is he your beloved? This beloved? Can you say of this same voice that when I hear this voice, it's the voice of my beloved? I know the one of whom she speaks here. I know whom she's speaking of. She's speaking of Christ, the Lord God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, my Saviour, my beloved. I know him. What she says of him here is what I know of him. I know his comfort. I know his love. I know how wonderful he is. I know his grace and his mercy that he has shown to me. Me, one who was black, as this woman here was black, black with sin, full of sin, corrupt and evil. I can say, like she says, look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun have looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyard. But mine own vineyard have I not kept. I didn't keep my vineyard. God placed me in this world. He created me and He sustained me. He gave me all things. And all I did with it was to seek my own wealth, my own pleasure, my own glory with it. And I despised and rejected and hated Him. I never kept it. I never kept what He gave me as being His. He gave me a vineyard and I stole it. And I stole from it, and I never used it for His glory. I despised and hated Him. Oh, I'm black. I'm vile. And yet, despite what I am, despite what this woman was, there was one who set His love upon her in particular. One whose voice she heard. One whom she could say was her beloved. Oh, can you say, though you are black, though you have rebelled, though you have never kept your vineyard, that there is one whose voice is to you the voice of your beloved? You know Him personally. He's yours. He's yours. The voice of my beloved. Behold, He cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. This woman felt her sin, but she longed to find the one whom her soul loved. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Chapter 1, verse 7. Verse 8, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids besides the shepherd's tents. Oh, she longs to find her beloved. She longs to know where He feeds His flock. Where is He? Where is Christ, my Saviour? Where does He preach His gospel? Where is His flock fed? That I may go and that I may hear Him. I must find Him. I've known Him. I've heard Him before, I know He's my beloved, but I long to always be where He is. I long to always hear His voice, and when He departs and when I'm on my own, I fall down. I'm without strength without Him. I am as nothing without Him. He leaves me on my own to tend a vineyard, and I tend it not. I am nothing, oh, where art thou? If you know Christ as your Saviour, every day you long to hear Him, you long to know where He is, you long to know where He feeds, you long to know where His flock are fed, you long to be where His gospel is, you long to hear His voice in the gospel, you long every day to hear His voice. You cannot survive without it, because He's your beloved. Your beloved. And He is the one whom your soul loves. Can you say that? Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Can you say it of Him? Does your soul love Him? Do you love His voice? The voice of my beloved. Behold, He cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away. Follow me. When Jesus entered this world and went forth to commence His ministry, He went and He went to poor men, poor worldly, rough working men, fishermen, And he approached unto them in the midst of their daily work and called out unto them, follow me. And they who were in darkness heard a voice they'd never heard before. A voice full of power. A voice full of authority. And a voice full of love and of grace. And without thinking, when the words entered their heads, they left all and rose up and followed him, their beloved. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. What a voice this is. What a voice. What a sound there is to this voice. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 15, where we see that wonderful picture of the risen, the glorified, ascended Christ in glory, we hear his voice sound, described as being like the sound of many waters. You cannot fail to hear it when it comes your way, whether it speaks loud or whether it speaks quiet, whether it comes as thunder into your soul, which is so hardened, a heart which is so hardened against him, whether it comes as a hammer upon your heart to break it down, or whether it comes quietly as a still small voice conveyed by the Spirit of God that comes in the gospel and whispers to your soul, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Great or small, loud or quiet, there's no voice like it. When it sounds, when the Spirit of God opens the ears of men and women to hear it, ears which were once deaf, souls which were once dead, when you have your ears open to hear this voice, there's no voice like it. It will be heard. It will be heard. Oh, then, to hear this voice, to hear it. See the woman's reaction here when she speaks of her loved one. When she speaks of this voice, the voice of my beloved, she exclaims. The delight, the joy to hear the voice of the one she loves, the one to whom she has been seeking, the one who at one point seemed afar off. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. I long to hear you. And when after so long, longing, knowing her sin, knowing her wretchedness, knowing that she deserved nothing from him, when that voice comes, at the point perhaps of utter despair and feeling like he may never speak, when that voice comes again in the gospel and speaks forth words of grace and love unto the soul, oh, the joy! The overwhelming joy, the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. He comes almighty, full of strength, full of might, full of power, victorious, sovereign, the Lord God, the ruler of heavens and earth. There is none like him, and he comes in his gospel, all conquering. And he comes for me, speaking my name, in particular. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, have you heard that voice? Have you heard that address? Has he said unto you, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away? Do you know the joy of hearing it? You'll only hear it one way. In the gospel. In the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, you'll only hear his voice in the gospel. He speaks through his gospel. He speaks through it to dead sinners, lost in sin, under wrath. He comes to them wherever they be, afar off. And he breaks them. And he shows them what they are before him. And he shows their need of salvation. And he speaks peace unto their soul. But you'll only hear that voice in the gospel. And many hear the gospel in words who never hear this voice. They go to meetings. They listen to messages. They hear the words. They hear words about Jesus Christ. They hear words about God. They hear words about sin and judgment. They hear words about the cross. They hear words about the death of Christ, of justification, election, sanctification, deliverance. They hear all the words. They can hear the gospel in its perfections and never hear. They can hear the gospel preached by the most powerful of preachers, the most godly sent preachers, in its purity and never hear. Just hearing the words, just reading the pages of the scriptures, and never hearing the voice of my beloved. Have you heard? Have you heard the gospel? But have you heard the gospel from his lips by his Spirit? Have you? Not everyone does. This woman, this daughter, this woman was chosen, separated from all others, chosen to hear, chosen to be gathered, chosen to be loved. And not because there was anything special about her. Not because she deserved it. Not because she made the right decision. Not because she was the most zealous. Not because she was the most wise. She was undeserving. She was black. Black with sin. Her mother's children were angry with her. She'd let everybody down. She'd failed in all her worldly duties. She was ungrateful. She was hopeless. She'd been made the keeper of the vineyards and never kept her own. She could tell everyone else how to live, but she never lived right herself. She was full of self-righteous opinions about what everyone else should be like, but her own vineyard was filthy. How many there are of the religious who are like this? How many there are who will go to a place of worship and hear the gospel in the letter and be full of their own opinions and their ideals and be full of the words of scripture and will wag a finger at everyone else and will know what should be done, what should be said, what should be preached, how people should act. And yet inside they know in their heart that they have yet to hear the voice of the beloved. They know that inside they are black with sin, though they put on a great wonderful show of purity without. Though they know every doctrine, though they know every practice, though they can tell everyone else how to look after their vineyards, though they can keep everyone else's vineyard, their own, their heart is full of bubbling sin. And that's the woman here. What she knew in the letter, what she did in practice outside, what she could say of other people was of nothing worth What mattered was her own heart, and it was disgusting, full of sin, just like yours and just like mine. And we're just like her. With our natural strength, we can go to great heights in religion. We can put on great appearances. And we can tend many vineyards. But we can't do anything about the sin within the vineyard of our own heart. And we need to hear the voice of the Beloved. We need to be gathered where he is. We need to hear his gospel to make any difference. Now this woman deserved not to hear his voice. She deserved not his love. She knew how undeserving she was. And yet her Beloved chose her. Out of all the women he could have chosen, he looked upon her and loved her. He loved her. And this book is an exchange of her words with his words. And it shows the depth of his love for her. What a love. What a love that can look upon the unlovely, the ungodly, the wicked, the selfish, the vile, and love. What a love that can take the worst of sinners and wash them clean and make them new. That can take those full of sin and wash away their sin and make them to be the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That can make them new, perfect in God's sight. Even though they sought it not, even though they spake against Christ and his gospel, even though they sought their own things, he still loved them. And he went to the cross for them. And though they in their heart crucified him, when with their hearts, with all others, they cried out of him, "Away with this man, crucify him, crucify him." He hung there for those who cried out against him. He hung there for those like this woman who rejected him. And as a consequence, when he died, having taken her sin, having washed it away, having cried out at the end, "It is finished," having laid those sins in the grave, having risen again the third day, having gone forth victorious from the grave, he went forth with his gospel, with his voice. And he went and he found her. And he went and he spake glad tidings unto her. And she heard his voice, and she who had spoken of him, "Crucify him," heard him say unto her, "Daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee." Have you been there? Have you heard of him and in your heart cried out against him? Have you put him to death? And then at one point in time he's come in his gospel. And hasn't come saying, "Judge them, slay them for their sins." Because that's what he should say by justice, because that's what we deserve. Has he come not like that in the gospel, but come unto you and said, Nevertheless, where art thou not thine accusers? Who is there without sin that will accuse thee? Where are they now? For neither do I accuse thee. For I have taken thy sin. I have taken thy wickedness. I have taken thy adulterous ways. I have taken all thy disgusting heart of sin, and I've judged it and put it away, and I have clothed thee with my righteousness. You are whiter than snow. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Rise up, my love. Rise up from the grave of death in which thou didst once lie. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. follow me. She was chosen. She was chosen, her beloved chose her. And she heard his voice in the gospel. Rise up, my love, my fair one. Have you? Is that the path you've walked? Can you say that you were there in the grave? Or are you yet in the grave? Yet in your sins? Religious or not, yet fighting and raging against him and his word and his voice. Are you yet there, waiting? Will you hear his voice? Have you heard it? If you have, if you do, if you hear it in the gospel, then you, like the sheep of whom she speaks in chapter 1, verse 7, who feed where he feeds, like his flock who rest at noon, then you will hear and you will rise up and you will follow and you will be able to say of that voice, the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Is that how he came to you? For that's how he comes to his people. He comes leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. He comes rushing to them in the gospel. What mountains are these? What hills are these? He comes on the mountains of truth. The mountains of truth. The mountains of the gospel of justification, of righteousness, of sins judged once and forever and righteousness brought in, of sanctification separated unto God, of redemption, of ransom, of election, of grace, free and sovereign grace. He comes skipping, leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. He'll only come this way. If you hear one with a voice that does not come through these mountains, with these truths, then it's not this voice. And it's not this gospel. And it's not this Saviour. And there is no salvation in the things you hear, the things you receive, or the things you believe. But if you hear this voice in this gospel, upon these mountains, skipping upon these hills, then you will know that there is a voice who has spoken unto you like none other. The sheep know it. And if you hear it, you will know it. You will know it. And you will follow the one who speaks to your soul. And another you will not follow. You will not go after those other hirelings. You will not go after those others. Though they say they are Christ, though they say they come with Christ's gospel, you'll know when you hear them that no matter how right they may sound, no matter how pious they may appear, there's something different in the voice you hear. You don't hear Christ's voice in their words. That's not him. And you cannot follow. Only the beloved has this voice. And it's only heard in his gospel. And that gospel's only sent forth by him, by those whom he sends to preach it by his Spirit. There's a voice that sounds, which is not the voice of the man, but the voice of Christ himself. Only the beloved has this voice. Have you heard it? Has he brought you to his banqueting house? And is his banner over you love? Has he brought you to that place where he feeds you with a banquet of grace, a banquet of good things in the gospel? Wonderful truth, Wonderful truth that though I am wretched, he is almighty and great. Wonderful truth that salvation is of grace from start to finish. It's all free. It began when I was in my sins a rebel. It was wrought and completed before I was ever born. It was made known to me as a rebel. And having been brought to hear, having been brought to faith, quickened to life from the death of my sin, it continues every day by grace. It's nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with what I did. Nothing to do with what I can do. All is a free gift. It's a banquet prepared for his people. And the banner he has over them is love. He's done it for them, not because of their deserts. It's not a reward for what they've done. They haven't earned it. It's not a wage. It's not a salary. His banner over us is not earned. It's not well done. It's not here you are, you've earned it. It's love. Though you deserved it not, I loved you and I would give you this. There's joy and comfort in that. There's certainty and hope in that and in nothing else. If our salvation depends on anything in us, then we're dead and lost from the beginning. And if our keeping of salvation depends on anything with us, then we will ruin it at the first day in which we receive it. But it's all from his hand. His banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head and his right hand doth embrace me. Oh, how near and how loving he is to his own. He embraces her. He puts his hand under her head. He lifts her up. Oh, how close. She's sick of love for him. One that should love her even though she was like this to him. There's no greater love. How it moves her. The child of God who knows this grace, this love, how moved they are. Because it's so utterly undeserved. We can't comprehend it. We can't comprehend that Christ should love us like this. We can't comprehend that though we've been so ungrateful, so unthankful, and though we continue to be, yet he loves us. And puts his hand under our head. And his right hand embraces us. He loves us yet. Oh, how it moves the heart, the soul of the child of God. We're sick of love. What a voice, what a saviour. This voice, it both speaks to us in the gospel. And it also speaks for us. Because this voice is the voice of the one, the beloved, who leads his own unto the Father, who brings his bride into the house of his Father, and says unto his Father, Almighty God, the everlasting Father, this is my bride. She was full of sin, but I have clothed her in righteousness. Look how pure and white and perfect she is. There's not a spot or a blemish in her. I loved her and gave myself for her. She is without sin. And he goes to the Father as our advocate. With the Father we have an advocate. He will speak for us. He will defend us if we are his. If we are this woman, if he is our beloved, if we are Christ, we have an advocate with the Father. We have an intercessor. He goes to the Father and says, she's mine. She is as I am. She is perfect in me. There is not one spot or blemish in her. She is without guilt. I died for her because I loved her. As Ephesians 1 verse 6 tells us, we are accepted with God in the Beloved. He is our acceptance. We have no right to enter into God's presence as fallen sinners, as those created of the dust. We cannot enter into God's presence unless we are accepted in the Beloved. Because He is our Saviour, He is our righteousness, He is the one who's washed us clean. He's our acceptance. And God has accepted us as His daughter, as the bride of His Son. He's accepted His own because of Christ in the Beloved. This is the only time you hear of accepting in relation to Christ in the whole of the Scriptures. Many speak of accepting Jesus, of receiving Jesus into their heart, of accepting Him, as though they are the determining factor whether they become His bride or not. But the Scriptures don't speak in that way. He comes and saves His bride, though she didn't want Him because she was blind to who He was. He opens her eyes to see, and when she sees He's wondrous. And when she sees, she's accepted by God. It's not a matter of us accepting Him, but whether He will accept us. Has He accepted you? If He has, it's in, only in, always in, entirely in Christ, your Beloved, your Advocate, your Intercessor, the one whose voice speaks in heaven this day. For sinners like you and me, if you're His, then He speaks today for you. He speaks to the Father and says, that one, she's mine, he's mine, I love her, she's mine. He defends His own. This voice, He's one who defends His own. He will defend them against all accusation. He's jealous over His bride. There is one. One who goes around in this world as a raging lion. One who is called an adversary. Satan, the adversary. One who is called the accuser of the brethren. There is one who knows the Scriptures inside out. There is one who knows the demands of God's holy law upon sinners. There is one who knows that man must be without sin to stand before a holy God. There is one who knows that men and women throughout this world are utterly with sin and condemned by every point of that law. There is one who knows, as a lawyer knows, that law greater than anyone else. He knows it inside out. Outside of God Himself, He's the greatest understander, the greatest knowledge of that law, and He is called the accuser of the brethren, because like a prosecutor in court, He walks into court. And He walks in dragging them in, and He, as it were, comes and says, I found this guilty sinner. I found this adulterer caught in the act. He comes in like the Pharisees with that adulterous woman before Christ and brings them in guilty before Him and says, not only do I know they're guilty, I saw them doing it. Now, will He come in before God because of you and what you have done today? Tomorrow, yesterday, throughout your life, will He go in before God, as it were, dragging you into a court and saying, I found this one, this boy, this girl, this man, this woman, this wretched sinner, guilty, caught in the act. I found them rebelling against Thee. They have not loved Thee with all Thy heart and with all Thy soul. They've not loved Thy neighbour as Thyself. They're guilty. And He comes in as an accuser. But when He comes into that court to accuse Christ's beloved bride, when He comes into that court to accuse those for whom Christ died, those washed in His blood, those made whiter than snow, though His accusations against them are true, the judge will say, case dismissed. Not guilty. The price has already been paid. I have taken away their sin. There is one who has paid the price for them. My Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has gone forth for them. He entered this world and he took all their sins and all their guilt, and I judged him for them. They're gone. Yes, your accusations are true, but you've missed what happened, accuser. I took them away. And you fought to slay them, and you fought to slay my Son. But in doing so, you completed the task which saved them. You took them away. He was judged, and they were judged in him. They were crucified with him. Their sins were judged and destroyed and taken away, blotted out. They are no more. There is nothing here before me, no accusation. They're gone. And Christ stands there as a defense, as it were, and says, no, I've taken it all away. And the Father, the judge, says, yes, you have. They're pure, they're perfect in thee. Case dismissed. Oh, what a voice to speak on our behalf. Does that voice speak for you in heaven above? Does it continually speak, not guilty, not guilty? Mine. Mine. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away. Oh, what a voice of comfort this is when you hear it. When you hear it. It's a wonderful voice to hear in the gospel when you're lost in sin and darkness. It's a wonderful voice calling you by name to follow Christ, to bring you out of death and sin. And it's a wonderful voice for the believer to hear each and every day, calling them in their way, calling them to follow, telling them that all is well, telling them that their Saviour is leading them, is watching over them, that there's no trial, no difficulty that could come their path which he will not undertake for them in, that he will not deal with them in. Every trial is sent for their good, every difficulty is for their good, and they have a great Saviour whose voice speaks comfort wherever they are. In whatever state, whatever circumstance, when in darkness, despair, trouble, trial, suffering and sorrow, what joy you hear if you hear this voice calling your name. When everything seems to be crushing against you, when the pressure seems to mount against you, when everything seems to be falling apart, when everyone seems to have nothing good to say to you, when everyone seems to round upon you and judge you and say you've got it wrong, you've got it wrong. When you feel like you're making a mess of everything, you feel like you're without strength, you feel like you cannot go on, then this voice comes in the gospel and says, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. All is well. I have saved thee with an everlasting salvation. I have taken every sin, past, present, and future, away. All is well. I will defend thee. I will watch over thee. I am thine. My love is not abated. His love for his own does not blow hot and cold. Though he may turn his face for a time, though we may fall into sin, though he may chastise us and correct us, his love burns ever strongly for his own. Oh, what he has to say to them. How he declares his love to them in his gospel. What greater display of love is there than when he tells us what he has done out of love for our souls? What greater display of love is there for us when we hear of what our Saviour has done for us in laying down his life for the sheep, for his bride, for his beloved? Oh, every day we need to hear that. It's not a message for the start of the journey. It's not a message for evangelicalism to bring people into the church, thereafter to be taught in other things. The gospel, the message of the cross, is what we need every day, because it's the display of our beloved's love unto us. He loved us. He took our sins away if we're his. He suffered for the sins of his own that they might live. And when they hear that, they're full, they're melted, they're full of love. One united with him. One with him. When he was crucified, they were crucified. They died with him. As Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. I died with him. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ does. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm in him, we're one. See the intimacy between this woman and her beloved. There's no fear. No fear of rebuke or judgment from him. No tenseness, no nervousness. She's comfortable with him. She loves to be with him. There's a oneness of love. It's not like when she's with anybody else in this world. Others may judge her, but he loves her. He's full of grace and mercy towards her. Again, like that woman we spake of caught in adultery, all would condemn her, though full of sin themselves. But he didn't. She was guilty. She was found in sin, and yet he said, neither do I condemn thee. I forgive thee. I've set my love upon thee. I've set my love upon thee. She was black. She was guilty. She deserved nothing but his condemnation. But that isn't what she heard. She heard his love. He who is without sin cast the first stone, he said. They all went away. Neither do I condemn thee. He set his love upon her. She heard grace, mercy, and love. Have you? Have you heard that from him? Do you feel the joy of knowing that love, that oneness, that union with your beloved? Your beloved. Have you heard him? Not of him. Not about Jesus Christ, not about the gospel, but have you heard his voice in the gospel, saying by his Spirit unto your soul, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, all the darkness, the coldness, the despair, the winter, that state you were in when you were full of your sin and felt the wrath of God burning against it, that winter you are in, it's gone, it's past. Summer's come, the gospel's come, my love has come unto you, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. His life. When he speaks to a dead sinner in the gospel, he comes with this message. Live. Well, do you live or are you dead? If you're yet in your sins, do you hear his voice? The winter is past. Live. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Have you heard him say that to you? And can you say of him, my beloved is mine, and I am his? My beloved is mine, and I am his. Praise God. Can you say that? Is that true? Can you shout out with a shout when you hear his voice? The voice. The voice of my beloved. Amen.